are one the same. Together, winning is our only aim. Stand up for the champions. Stand up for the champions. Stand up, we will overcome. Stand up, we'll be the number one. Together, not forevermore. Together, it's like never before. Together, what we're fighting for. Together, all the nations roar. Stand up for the champions. Stand up for the champions. Stand up, we will overcome. Stand up, we'll be the number one. We'll keep on fighting till the end. Oh, our victory. Honor, we will defend. No one,
no one
will stop our destiny.
Forever
we'll recall this day.
And never
let the glory fade.
Remember
for eternity.
Welcome to the Fucking Champions Podcast. Oh, God. Do I have to? Whatever, fuck this. I'm Ilario Finnis. A half-intoxicated one, but that's alright. We won't leave that for later. With me, as always, is Jason Cavey.
Champions.
One word, champions. And, and also, as always, Aaron Casalaris.
We finally did it.
Finally. Finally. It's the only thing I've been asking for. As I said to everyone, am I going to care if we win or lose from here on in? Of course. But the one just puts a lot of things to bed.
You know, I just said this as the music was playing. Victory's game's playing right now, and I actually kind of want them to do well. It's made me less bitter. I wouldn't mind.
Is that turning your favourite team now or something?
It's definitely made me less bitter.
To speak about being less bitter, just a clear example of that, I decided to put a bit of a ha-ha post on the Red Army, a poll of who's the biggest backstabber. And at the current moment, more people believe that Stephen Lustiger is a bigger backstabber than Marcos Flores. So that would kind of tell you how things are going at the moment. I believe also there was a mention of John Cosmina somewhere there as well.
Even Cosy had nice things to say on Sunday.
I couldn't believe it.
Well, what else?
We're in backwards land.
What else could they do? They couldn't do much.
I'm sure he could have found something if he tried.
Well, yeah. I'm sure he could. So to say that I was shitting bricks all feckin' week was an understatement. Anyone that saw me pre-game saw my hand and the way it was shaking. And, it'd been shaking like that since Sunday. I mean, my day started at 5:30 in the morning. Eastern Standard Time, as I had to get my ass ready and get down to Avalon Airport, which is right next to Geelong, which is about a 50-minute drive from my house. I could see
bear in mind here that Ilario lives about 5 minutes away from Tullamarine Airport.
Yeah, the first exit off of Tullamarine Airport, I live there, but no, 50 minutes down to the other one because, I ain't paying $350 for one flight when I can pay $89 for another. Anyway, I see that a lot of Western Sydney people join me because they were like, well, I ain't paying $1,000, so we'll go to we'll fly to Melbourne first and fly out of there. Probably a smart thing to do. So I had all those lovely nerves. We finally took off and landed in Adelaide 10 o'clock local time. Basically, I got picked up my old lady, dropped my stuff off at her house. She had some, I guess I call it brunch. I was going to say breakfast, lunch. It was kind of in between. She had a feed ready, let's put it that way. I ate as much as I could. Gave the rest to my sister because I couldn't finish it all. Let's put it that way. And then I was at the Strath by 12. And that did no help for my nerves. And then, the rest of the day played out as I will play that clip soon enough.
It went according to perfection Sunday.
I had to pick up one of the lads from the airport, and the amount of Western Sydney supporters that were there looking at me, I was like, yeah, okay. So I decided to sing one chant to them.
Yeah.
Anyone guess what that is?
Nah, Malaka.
Home in a barrel.
Ah. Well, you see.
That didn't go down too well.
Well, you see, on my flight, because the plane came in from Sydney to Avalon and then over on board and then it flew out from Avalon to Melbourne. So, of course, the crew were like, well, we're a Sydney crew, so go you Wanderers. And it's like, shut the fuck up. I'm about to kick down that cockpit door and smack you one, champ. And it didn't help, like everyone, every time they'd say, like the three times they decided to get on air, or every time they said "Go You Wanderers," of course, was always, you know, a cheering, you know, who do we sing for, and like, shut up and land the smegging plane. Like, I don't want to hear you right now. But I was actually hoping that they were my crew on the flight back, so I could, you know.
Oh, well, random flight crew. Yeah. Chat shit, get bank.
Indeed. Chat shit, get bank. Bit of a... And then, yeah, there was... So, obviously, there was a... City was packed. Strathmore very busy from the start. I mean, I didn't go anywhere else except for the Strath, so I couldn't tell you.
And then... Say, the Strathmore were very good hosts on Sunday, so... Bit of a plug for them.
Yep.
They had a lot of people.
Yeah.
And a lot of very loud people, so... Yeah. Good for them. They took it like champs.
I was going to say something there, but no, we'll keep that inappropriateness off the podcast.
yes.
Just Ilario being Ilario, so if anyone knows me, you know what I'm like. And then... Sorry. So I've just seen that they needed two goals or whatever. They're still going to miss out. I'm sorry. All good. Just a victory. No, nothing important. And then then basically a march. The march happened, which, let's say, was a boisterous, shall we say.
It was probably one of the best marches I've been on. Yeah.
Yep.
Incredible, really. Everyone got involved. There's a video of people coming out of the pub. I'm like, how is there that many people in there?
There's also a video of everyone walking across the footbridge, or there's footage of that, and that's just... It's just a sea of red. Absolute sea of red. Nothing else. And then, when we got there, you know, the Red Army and Glenn and everyone else started making some noise. Then there was a, you know, teams came out, a national anthem, and then the following occurred.
So off we go, a packed house at Adelaide Oval. Corner taken short, and nobody's picked up Andreu's got time to deliver. And La Bicicleta, Steph touches. And gets it back off Stephen Moore. The Adelaide crowd like that. What about the cross from Karoska? Come on! Bruce Kamau for Adelaide United, arriving late, but they're ahead of the fullback, and Adelaide Oval erupts.
To Karuska, the pass was beautiful in the end from Marcelo Karuska, the magical Argentine, but look at that from Brucey K. He zips in front of Scott Jamieson. It's a peach with the inside of his left foot, netted perfectly the youngster, and away go the Reds.
Quite why Topor Stanley put his leg in there. Kamau had lost control of the ball, and in fact it's Kamau on that angle who'd made the contact. I don't think there's any complaint. Other.
It's going to be Isaias. Oh, Isaias, the Spaniard. Si, senor. Si. Two goals to the good Adelaide.
It's an incredible goal. Any corner on this earth. That is Golazzo. Beautiful.
A space to exploit here for the Reds. Goodwin as they look for a third. But he's dragged his shot wide.
Rushed it.
Karuska. Jitte trying to roll away from Topor Stanley. He's in here, Jitte. Squared it up. It's only partly cleared. Stephen Mork. And he was leaning backwards and got too much elevation on the shot. Think about Castellan shooting over the top. That's a nasty one from Andreu on Jitte. Jared Gillett is again going to go to his pocket. The watch by Jared Gillett, and that'll do for a first half that has very much gone the way of Adelaide United. 22 years they've waited for a championship in this part of the world. They might only have another 45 minutes to wait. So a blast on the whistle from Jared Gillett gets us back underway, and home for the 1-2 with Mork a second time. Dug out by Stephen Mork, is going to try and curl it. It's a routine gather this time for Redmayne.
That hasn't materialised into a goal.
Look at the work of Isaias. He'll take several roles following the challenge of Jamieson, who is going to follow his colleagues Topor Stanley and Andreu into the book. Here's Castleman as they try to start the journey. Laid off by Santelab. There's one back. And it is a smashing hit by Scott Neville.
And it's a moment of quality, really, in exchange. The ball thread through from Romeo Castellan. The deftest of touches from Brendan Santelab. And
just trying to ward off raid after raid of Wanderers attacks. Chipped in by Andreu. Golekovic came a long way and got it.
Really good climb.
In the way. Back with Goodwin. Towards Chitte at the near post. And the Wanderers survive. And what drama we've had. Not finished yet. Mort's corner. Out towards Goodwin. It lashes it right footed. And it might break for Thurio. There's a scramble. It's gone in.
Offside.
Or is it? Offside flags up. It won't count.
Brilliant save, Redmayne. Inexperienced at this level.
It's away with the ball. Everything on the line for both teams. And a foul by Dimas, which he is furious about. He goes into the book. About to be delivered by Dimas. Towards Neville at top of Stanley, in fact, got there first. On target, but when Adelaide City last bought a championship, by mistake by Backhurst. There could be an air. Pablo Sanchez! That's it! They've done it! The super sub, once again, off the bench, scores the clincher. Adelaide are going to be champions for the very first time in the A-League era.
Then they didn't lose. They lost one for 20 games that followed. Finished top of the pops, host a grand final, and put a third nail in the Wanderers' coffin.
And on balance, you'd say they deserved it today. There it is. Thanks to Amore, they are bridesmaids no more. Tears from Eugene Golekovic. He knows the pain that they've been through. And in front of 50,000 parochial South Australians, Adelaide United have finally reversed the curse and laid to rest those ghosts of grand finals past. Bottom in November, premiers in April, champions in May. Western Sydney Wanderers waits for a title goes on. They now match the Mariners in having lost three grand finals. But today it's all about the Reds, about an unprecedented journey after that dismal start to the campaign. It's their time. It is their moment. Adelaide United, champions of Australia.
Oh, wow.
Bottom in November, premiers in April, champions in May. What a fucking fantastic line that was.
I've got
goosebumps just just listening to that.
Oh, well, if we weren't podcasting, I'd replay it already. like just quietly, I'd have hit the replay, I'd play it again. I was thinking about playing that again, and si, senor, like, just...
All I want to do there is just si.
Wow. Who wants to start? Like, someone...
Popovich. I mean, please.
We all know. Yeah, but we also know that's just him trying to, you know, save face kind of thing. But yeah, realistically, we beat you with long balls. No, we dominated you all over the park. I mean,
honestly, if they turned up for, you know, 90 minutes as opposed to 45.
45, they didn't even turn up for that.
It wouldn't be a bloody issue.
They didn't even turn up for 45, they turned up for about 20.
But I tell you what, mate, that first half, we stormed them.
Yep.
There was
exactly the start of when
there was only one team in that first half. You know, Western Sydney got probably more big game experience, but yet we were the ones that were comfortable and played our game, and they're the ones that are just didn't turn up at all, at least in that first half. So that's actually quite surprising.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we dominated them in that, certainly that first half. I mean, we probably should have been more than two up to the good. I mean, Bruce decided to be unselfish and pass, cut back when realistically he should have just thundered the thing in there. I mean, that probably would have made it 3, but look, the first goal was a, you know, lovely worked in cross there by Karuska. You know, got it, and Kamau he seen Kamau cutting in, saw him hitting knew what spot he was going to hit and put the ball right there, and Kamau just basically got his foot to it and just directed it past Redmayne. It ended up, because of how quick it was going, it thundered past him. But yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
again, great setup play from Karuska. He's been doing it all season. Like,
well, since he got benched.
His delivery is always fantastic.
Yeah, since he got benched, and basically he got the message that, marquee or not, you will sit on that if you don't, if you don't play. If you don't improve, that's where you're sitting. And he got the message and he picked up his, he picked up his bootstraps and did basically what we needed him to do. He's been amazing since that. Like, he's... Even if he hasn't been the best player on the field, he's just, the way him and Isaias and all that have just controlled everything in the middle. Been fantastic. And speaking of Isaias, God, how good was that second goal? You couldn't have got that more precise if you tried. Because it doesn't hit the corner. Yeah. It hits, the siding of the net. Which would mean the only other place he could have gone was the post or miss. So that's how precision he got that. I mean...
Honestly. I was crying once he scored that second because I knew I'd basically just won some money from him.
Well,
you won't see a better free kick for the next 10 years in the A-League. Like, that was world class.
And certainly not in a game as big as that, But yeah, God.
Was it, I think Bruce Yate said it. He was like, David Beckham would have been proud of that one. Like,
well, you'll find it hard to find a keeper anywhere in the world that would have saved that. No one was saving that.
Can I say
not Courtois, not Cech.
Can I say Buffon? Like,
you know.
Can I say Gigi Buffon? Anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, besides that. So yeah, I mean. Then halftime happened. Western Sydney clearly got the hairdryer treatment given to them at halftime. Because they decided that would wake up and start playing some football.
See, but I think we changed our tactics a little bit, though. I think we just sat back a bit more and were like, you're all right, we got two. Now you have to come at us. You're going to open up. We can get that. Which we did.
But
I was never really worried because, we didn't have the ball. But they weren't really doing a hell of a lot with it either.
No, but it was one of those ones that once they started touching the ball more, they started to get a little bit more comfortable.
And that's right.
Basically, it was one of those, had they not been two down, it could have been a different story, but the fact that they went into the races in the first half helped us because it meant they had to come out and attack because no matter what, they had to at least equalise. And once they did that, we then again reasserted some control. When they started to really start to come at us again, that's when we basically put our foots down and reasserted some control and basically tried to kill the game off. And it was, What was that?
Eugene didn't really have to make a great save. Like, he hardly had to touch the ball, really.
No, the only time he touched... Well, true. But the only... I mean, obviously, he touched the ball to pick the ball out of the net for their goal. Yeah. And when Topola Stanley headed straight to him...
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he had a few catches and sort of that, but he didn't really have to make a save such. No. Like, obviously... You know, we know Eugene. He can pull off a spectacular save when called to do so, but just didn't need to do it, did he? Like,
nope. I mean, that LaRocca, other LaRocca just had the back four night. Like, you know, the Larocca had that fairly well. I mean, I think Santelos spent most of the day in his pocket. I mean, I certainly don't remember him doing much.
You know, massive inclusion. Like,
pardon?
I spoke about that earlier. It's massive inclusion.
Yeah.
Mm.
A lot of people weren't impressed at the start of the year, but I bet you now they've changed their mind.
Yeah. They're the same people.
It definitely took him a while to settle, like, but, you know, once he did.
And Aaron, they're the same people that don't want Bruce to play for us anymore.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, I guess I was critical of Larocca, it just because, you know, that's one out of four, you know, foreign spots.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, that the pressure's that much more.
Mm.
But, you know, my word, second half of the season, he's proved he's worthy of that slot, I think.
Yep.
I mean, and then, obviously, Mr. Substitute decided to come on.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you know, people say Central Lab's the super sub, but, yeah. I think we know someone that's just gotten that extra mile.
Just quickly on Western Sydney's goal, by the way. Their goal was quality, just to, you know.
Oh, it was.
In fact, I think all goals were basically quality one way or another. Well, they're all good goals. None of them were just tap-ins. So, yeah. So, but yeah, their goal was quality when they equalised with through Scott Neville. Well, not equalised. They got one back. Sorry, equalised. Jeez, give myself a heart attack, and the match has been finished for 3 days. But I mean, Sanchez came on and. He said, I'll need to get my regulation goal, and off he went, and he got his goal and basically sealed the deal. Ran over straight out of the. Go on.
Bit of a mistake from Western Sydney defence. Obviously, they're tired on that, but
yeah,
you know, they're passing around the ball at the back with 2 minutes to go. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking, like.
Well, especially not when they were chasing, like.
Yeah, they were gonna. It was gonna happen, like it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it really bizarre how quite naive Western Sydney actually were. You know, they played. You know, played. You know, this is their third grand final. They've played an ACL final in the last 2 years. Like,
and one would have thought they would have learned, you know, from playing Brisbane or whatever it is from Cop and Lake goals. So,
yeah, exactly. You know, they had, that was one thing they had on us, was that big game experience, you know?
Well,
but it just didn't show.
Not that I'm too concerned with that.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
it looked as if in that last five, even last 10 minutes, it just looked as if they just didn't expect us to press. Because we weren't doing it for a bit. And then all of a sudden we did that for that goal, and it looked like literally they shit themselves.
Yeah.
Instead of just clearing the ball out of there, resetting again, you lose the ball, okay, fair enough, you lose the ball, whatever.
Yeah.
It's 2 minutes, you're still going to get the ball back.
Indeed. Okay,
they literally just looked like they shit themselves.
Yeah, and that goal went.
I said, like, there's, I think that's an Amor tactic as well, a bit of energy preservation, you know, in that second half. And it, you know, so we could kill it off late on, you know. I don't think, you know, that's something I think that's been done on purpose.
Well, I think with Sanchez basically saying he's staying, I mean, it means, you know, to me that shows he knows his role, like he knows the role in the team. Like Amor has explained it to him, like, you know, he knows why he might not start and play every minute and all that stuff. He has an important role. He just, you know, he's the best person at doing his role. If you know what, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
he's not one of them selfish players that wants to leave to get game time.
Well,
like, okay, I understand. You want to play? You want to go? You want to start? You want to play every minute of every game? I understand that.
Yeah.
But if you're happy, stay. I mean, you just won a championship. Why would people want to leave now? Then you can do it all again.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second.
But, yeah, like, I think, you know, we saw some of the guys afterwards much later in the night.
Did you see Zed and Caravella?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to say too much on the record. But...
I'll say this on the record. I can tell you he missed his flight to Cairns. Because I was I was at the airport, and at least five times, ding ding, this is Qantas flight 924, whatever it was, flight from Adelaide to Cairns. We are waiting, Mr. Zenon Carrella, if he could make himself known to staff and please make his way for immediate departure, so we could leave, please. And that went off at least five times in the half an hour before I boarded, and then. It was just like final call, and then that's it. So, I guess it left without him. Oh well, he was busy. He was having he was having fun with the boys.
Had a good night.
Exactly.
Oh, I think everyone in Adelaide did that night.
I know some of the Western Sydney fans did. They were collapsing out of HJs when I went to go get a feed.
Oh my word!
Oh, they were.
We did run into a few, ones that weren't too bad actually. You know,
same.
You know, like it's weird that this reputation that these fans do have, and it really is like the 1% that are worthy of the tag, and the others are absolutely fine in the interactions I've had.
Well, my mate was working at the cathedral, so I went in to have a drink. Forgetting that's where the Wanderers were, but they were all fine. None of them got stroppy. None of them. They were like, "Nah, congratulations, you won. You know, it is what it is. Like, we're ticked that we didn't win, but not because you guys beat us. Because the simple fact that you know this is our third go, we didn't bother showing up, and it was all that stuff. So there was no, you know, nothing to it. Like, it was just congratulations. So that was all fine. And even those ones that were stumbling out of HJs, they were just you know lads that had, had a few drinks, and you know what I mean. There was no. They didn't hurt anyone. They just, you know, had their food, and they were just like, yeah, whatever. So I mean, yeah, I think it's one of those also, you know, we all know there's good and bad in every lot, isn't it? So
yeah,
you know, can't really judge one group of people on you know the actions of a few.
Well, that's right, and yeah, there's a few friggin' idiots on our side as well this weekend. So
no.
Who are we to judge, really? Like, and I'm not going to give them any more airtime than that. But
no, we're not talking about any of that stuff.
Yeah, so, but yeah, it that is the way it is. But I digress.
But I digress, indeed. So yeah, basically, like I said, we became the first
champions.
We certainly became champions. We became the first Adelaide-based. Football team or soccer team, whatever you want to call it, champion since Adelaide City in 95. Yeah, I'm gonna go 95. Steve's probably gonna hurt me for getting that wrong, but that's all right. I was like 10, all right, so you know what I mean. Like,
I think they said it was 94. Adelaide City won,
that's right, yeah, 95 Melbourne Knights won. Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, but in Adelaide. But
yeah,
1974, I think it was the last time an Adelaide team or a South Australian team won a grand final in South Australia. So
yeah,
teams, a set of trailblazers, to be quite honest.
Yeah, because all the other ones were won in, over in Melbourne against us. Yeah, okay, yeah, we're too. Fair enough. And I mean, and we also become the first South Australian-based team, and probably we're going to be the only ones that we're going to be able to do this, become national champions at, or win a national trophy at Adelaide Oval, seeing that obviously the AFL ain't ever going to play a GF outside of the MCG, and the cricket can't actually play their final Adelaide Oval because it's during the footy season, so... That makes us the only team in South Australia that's able to win a national title at Adelaide Oval. So I guess there's another feather in our cap. And certainly, we're the first ones to do it there at the redeveloped stadium, and the last ones to do it there. Oh, sorry, and the first ones to do it there since the Redbacks won it in like when run the Sheffield Shield in '95. So there we are. That's how long this lovely sporting drought, I guess you call it, has been going on with this state.
Yeah, it proves. You know, we did touch on this a couple of episodes back, you know, the South Australian curse and
yeah.
and all that. And I think it was, you know, it was a real thing, I think, you know.
It was all Josh Wilson.
No, it's just the away curse is Josh Wilson. If anyone is wondering,
I do want to give a shout out to Steve. That third goal, Eugene Gulakovic sprinting the whole.
Eugene Gulakovic doing the reverse Adebayor and running to the home fans to celebrate the goal.
And he must have got some speed on it
because he was there pretty quick. Yeah,
he got there
pretty quick. Sanchez reached Steve. That's the man of the red wig for anyone who doesn't know. Anyway, Sanchez reached Steve, and the players piled on. And by the time the last defender piled on, I can't remember who that was, but Gulakovic was only a couple steps behind him. So he must have just saw her and started pelting straight away. I'm in on this. How else do you explain it? I don't know. My teams have never really been. Let's phrase it. My local teams, at least, have. I almost didn't know how to celebrate it. I went spastic with when the goals went in with yourself and all that, Jason. And once the full time whistle went, I just kind of sat back and just soaked it all in. It was just
I was a little bit the same.
Everyone jumped in front of me because I was right behind the drums and next to the stand. So some people had to go get their camera media whore time and had to try and jump on the railing in front of me and whatever. And it's just as I was standing there, I kept on moving them during the presentation. They're looking at me. I'm like, don't care what you do, just enough of a gap so I can see it. All right, I just want to see it, and then you can go back to getting your media whore time or whatever. Just let me see it. That's all I want. I don't want to see your ass cheeks during this bloody thing. So, yeah, otherwise,
I was trying to say the same thing to people in front of me. There was no chance they were moving.
But yeah, well,
I was getting...
I was a bit more forthcoming with my request, shall we say. Go on.
It was a few people, so I wasn't...
Yeah, so were mine, but mine was...
Can you believe it? Some girl got her top off. Can you believe that?
I know. what does she think she is? Does she think she's at an AC/DC concert or something? Come on.
Ilari, do you know her?
Name's not coming to mind right now.
Aaron, do you know her, mate? You haven't seen her around, have you?
No, I think she's jumped on the bandwagon.
You are so getting slapped when you go to sleep.
I'm gonna make sure she doesn't hear that one.
If that girl's listening, just message the page, yeah.
I can hear it now. You guys are pricks. Yada yada yada.
compliments on a league banter, I think.
Yes, so I did. They did make enough of a gap so I could see it. And as I said to him, even if you just move your legs to a certain angle so I can just see through the gap, I don't have to see the whole thing. I got my wish. and Ilari managed to survive the whole game minus a medical issue, so that was a good thing.
Thanks, Zach.
No, Zach was up near me, wasn't he? Okay, I don't know.
Zach was near you.
No, there's no medical issues, which is always a good thing.
Well, there was, but there wasn't at the game, and this time it had nothing to do with me. But that's neither here nor there, so we won't be bringing that up. I soaked it all in. Voice was lost. I think I chewed through about half a pack of smokes. And at the end, as someone asked, everything you've been through and all that. And as I said to them, look, from the 17th of October, I've made a status basically about this, but yeah, from the 17th of October 2003 to now, we've been there for the highs, the lows, the good stuff, the bad stuff. There's been joy, there's been heartache, and I don't care what anyone says, all that heartache and all that makes it all effing worth it, because after Sunday, it's those moments that become even sweeter. And you just embrace them even more. And, yep, I mean, like, I wouldn't take any of it back. Let's put it that way.
You know, I think, you know, had we have, you know, in that very first day league season, if we'd fulfilled our potential, you know, last weekend wouldn't have been nearly what it was.
No, it would just been another game.
Yeah, you know.
I would end up sounding like those people that I live in the same state with who go to me, "Oh, we've already won three. It doesn't really feel like much to us when we win it these days."
Yeah, and that's a shitty attitude to have. But
yes,
you know, that just once, you know, that's
all I wanted. Like, I mean, do I want us to have more? Of course I do. But as I said, it's just the one that we needed, just to, you know, shut some people up. Like, you know, I mean, the club needed it. We, you know, we as fans wanted it and needed it. And just one was all we needed.
Honestly, I don't think, like, and I said this to fans of other teams over the weekend before the game.
Yeah.
I don't think there's another club that deserve it more. You know, in, yeah, like, we, you know, for us not to have a title, it was a travesty. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think a club deserves it more than us.
I couldn't have thought of one that maybe Glory and maybe only them, and that's only because they've been around since '96 and they basically held Australian football up for so long, which they did before the A League. But after that, I mean, like, now that we've won it, they're the only other team I think that really deserves one. Yeah, I couldn't think of another one, but, you know, even my Glory mates say, until we get rid of Tony Sage, it ain't happening anytime soon. Well, that's for them to worry about, not for me.
I mean, mind you, I'm very surprised we've done this with our current chairman, to be quite honest, so, you know, Maybe people have been a bit harsh on him, or maybe, I don't know, but
we'll see. But
yeah,
just a
recent. We'll see in the off season, because, you know, I guess now we move to the next bit. What happens now?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the grand final review. I guess we're kind of going to half have a season review and see what's happening for come forth.
There is one thing I'll mention before we go anywhere.
That you managed to keep your top one and someone else didn't?
I feel for Michael Moroney. You know,
oh, indeed.
Can't celebrate with the guys right now. I think he had the surgery today for his ruptured Achilles. Out for, what, nine months or so.
Achilles is more of a 12-monther. He might not play.
They're saying 9 to 12. So, you know, he could be out all year next year. And, you know, I just want to, you know, I feel for him.
Indeed, but I mean, he'll still be glad that he's got, you know, he played and won the grand final. So, I mean, he's a player. So that's what they play for, to win stuff. But yeah. So, do we want to kind of half have a season review? I mean, we don't have to exactly go through game by game, but you know what I mean. I mean, if you really want, we can go through game by game, but I'd rather not. We'll be here all night.
Well, yeah, average start.
Average start, to say the least. I mean, well, after 8 games, we were dead bottom. And I remember hearing commentary at the time that no club has finished higher than 7th when being in that position at that point in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we thought
we'd joke's on you.
Yeah, we thought we'd take that and smash it to high heavens. Because, as all of us know, not only did we not finish 7th, which is where Sydney FC finished, the team that, you know, is under the great Graham Arnold. But we finished top of the pile, as everyone knows. Ironically, everyone finished in their position. Like, where everyone finished 1-6 is where everyone finished in the finals.
Yeah, I think Aaron touched on that. That the teams, you know, in that second week of finals, all the teams were being eliminated in order.
Yep. and it continued the whole way through to the finals. So in that case,
I mean, I guess that's point? You know,
what was the point?
You know, it goes to show that the league table doesn't lie.
Yeah. Well, what's the point then?
Yeah. Well.
Heartache. Yeah. Heartache. Heartache's the point. The ball break you and yes. wish give think you have hope, but basically we'll just run it quickly. Obviously, after eight games, to me the change happens in that second half against Victory at the Telstra Dome, Etihad Stadium, Docklands, whatever you want to call it.
I think that was the turning point. Yeah,
it's that second half when we get that penalty. Like that second half, things slowly start to click. And all right, we get a penalty, we still lose 2-1, but there was just something about that second half that was different to the first seven games that had preceded it.
I'm just going to take credit for it.
All right, you do that.
I booked the flights the next day after Melbourne Victory, where we lost it, and we lost one game since. So I'm going to claim it.
All right, all good. All right, that's down to Aaron after that. Aaron managed to get the... But, yeah, no, after that, obviously, we... fortunes changed rather drastically, shall we say. Just a little bit, yes. As we then went on a 14 unbeaten run, 14 game unbeaten run, which is the longest in the club's history. Obviously, we didn't match Brisbane's some 36 or 7 or whatever it is, which is the current A-League record. But we'll take care of that record another time. And then... during that, we had that one loss, which at the time, I remember us all kind of saying, it was one of the earlier podcasts, we all basically said, maybe it's that loss we needed to have. And Aaron, I couldn't hear you there, mate.
I said yes.
Well, and I think it got it out of our system and just kind of
calm the
nerves. Just refocused us a little bit. And
I mean, not only was that Victory game the turning point, I mean, all right, we beat Perth the next week, which was the 1-0 or whatever. That game against Sydney, where we won late with a penalty, that also, I think, was a big momentum kicker. That game, the game at Hindmarsh, we get the penalty like last moment. I think it's almost like last kick of the game, which I did happen to call prior to the game when I was watching with Tristan just for a laugh, when him and I obviously both live here, and he was like, I just want us to smash him. He Tristan went, I want to smash him like 5-0. I'm like, screw that. I want to win 2-1 off some dodgy penalty in the last minute. Well, there we go. I got my wish.
We had a Graham Arnold freaking tantrum then, didn't we?
We did. Yes. That was one of Arnie's fantastic, one of Arnie's fantastic meltdowns, which, you know, I'm always good for an Arnie meltdown. Kind of warms the cockle shells, that.
So moving on. Like,
yeah, and then obviously...
What happens now, you know?
Well, we play Champions League. We do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty much guaranteed that Goodwin is gone. He's...
Yeah, but, so the word is basically Sparta, Rotterdam, and Holland. It's the word.
You know what? That's
fine.
Probably the right move for him now. You know, he's done everything he can do, I think, with us. Hopefully he can come back eventually, but I think the time's right on that one.
Yeah. I mean, a majority of our players, the Australian ones, are probably going to get offers, you know. I mean, a lot of the Spanish trio are a little bit too old to kind of have their shot, if you know what I mean. They've had their shot and they've come here, kind of thing.
I think with them as well, like, you know, because of where they're at in their careers, I think the A-League and playing one game a week suits them and gives them more longevity in the long run. So,
I mean, I mean, like someone like Mork's probably going to be a sought after talent. I mean, does he? I mean, it's up to him. If he goes now, does he hang around for another season and get the at least another season out before he heads overseas? I mean,
I'd like to see him stay another year. I think it'd be better for his development, to be honest. You know, yeah. playing a whole season, you know, week in, week out, which, you know, he hasn't really done this year. He's done sort of half a season, so I think, it, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, not an expert by any means, but, you know, I think he'd be better off sticking around for another year.
I agree with that.
You know, we've seen it a lot with certainly with our younger players where they... Well,
Nathan Burns was a cry.
They go a little bit too early and they suffer because of it, I think.
Nathan Burns and Bruce were both prime examples.
Yeah, especially...
Burns.
Especially, well, you're both of them, really. Like, they hadn't really done a full season with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think it's always easy to say that in hindsight, but I think they could have done with the another year.
I mean, I always think that same category. Yeah, I always think a younger player should probably leave here, you know, after at least two seasons in its domestic comp. I mean, now Eugene's 34, so I think obviously he's still going to go around. You know, he's not going anywhere. I think his chance to go overseas went by him, and that's all right. He seems to be fine with it because him and his wife are all happy here, so that's fine. Moroney, obviously, we know what's going to happen there. I'd hope LaRocca's staying.
Well, we've got another year, so the only question mark out of the foreigners is really Pablo.
And he already said he was staying, or he wanted to stay.
Wants to stay. Whether
we all afford it.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, obviously Goodwin going, Mork probably to stay, and who wants to bring up the news that seemed to have broken only and that was broken by someone who's currently at your house there, Jason. For anyone that doesn't know, in the background, occasionally you've heard someone talking. It's Watto. Yeah, I was going to Sean Watson. I was remembering his proper name. I was going to say, I never call him Watto, so I kind of forgot.
I've done my best to try and mute him out, but yeah.
Yeah, you have, but it ain't working.
No, it isn't. But Watto decided to show me at the after party, just to kill my mood real quick. But it's alright, because I just kind of, I looked at it, read it, and went, you know what, F it, I'll deal with that tomorrow. That it looks like Bruce Kamau, well, released by the secret agent, Bruce Kamau, well, that's the source, Bruce Kamau could be off to Melbourne City in an exchange for us getting, oh, I had that and I've lost it.
Garuccio,
yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, that's...
Well,
that was it. We'll be picking him up on a free because he got released. But
he got released, yeah.
I don't know. Like, yeah.
Why?
It'd be a shame to see him leave, I think. You know, he's really had that breakout year.
Yeah.
I don't trust Melbourne City to develop him in the way that we could.
I think the only reason he's going there is either for cash or... Because as it was put to me, is because Melbourne City's a gateway club.
Yeah.
Mm.
Although they were it was referred to me that Melbourne City were marijuana because they were a gateway club. At least you wanted to pick it once. But yeah, I mean... Like, if it is true, I mean, like, why wait till then to release it? Why not at least, you know, give him a day? Like, let this die down first and then announce it, you know?
That's why nothing's official.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course not. Whatever. Of course not. I mean, could it be something that was in the works that he decided to turn his, you know, change his mind on? You know, was it something that...
Apparently he'd made... What I had heard as well, or read or something, that he actually made a verbal agreement with the club and then went back on it. Now, how true that is, I don't know.
As in verbal agreement? as in a Stephen Lustica type verbal agreement, or is it like, or as in like a verbal agreement with Melbourne City, or a verbal agreement with our club or their club?
Our club.
Okay.
Apparently.
Okay.
Oh no, he wasn't saying nothing on Sunday night to me. I did try and dig a little.
Like he was going to say something.
I don't know, mate.
Come on, that drunk.
All bets are off, mate. All bets are off.
You'd have to, you know, if he was in the shape of some of our other players, some of the other ones as they were later on Sunday night, as I heard, maybe then you could have asked him. This morning. What was that?
It looked pretty bad this afternoon. It looked like still trying to recover.
As far as I see it, mate, they've won. They can do whatever they want.
Exactly.
They behaved for the season, you know, like they behaved during season. Now this is their time to relax and all that stuff, so let them go. I mean, I didn't expect any of them to, if in fact any of them weren't a mess, then I would have been upset.
I mean, if you can't do it now, when are you ever going to do it?
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I want it not to be true, obviously. Obviously, I want Kamau to stay, but it's also one of those, as always, if they don't want to be there, then, you know, show them the door. Get what you can from them.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, the A-League's, you know, weird transfer, you know, rulings and what have you, it does make it hard, you know. The players have all the power.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whatever happens, I guess.
I think there should be at least, personally, I think there should at least be some rule. I got it, there's no transfer fee or whatever, but there should be some sort of fee/accommodation that has to be paid to players if you've developed them.
I mean, I guess it doesn't apply in this case because Bruce is out of contract, but...
Yeah.
How that's it's got to this point and he hasn't signed... I think that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
But hopefully another player out of contract, Dylan McGowan, can stick around.
Well, the rumours is off to Sydney.
No, Sydney were going hard, but they've just signed Alex Wilkinson, so maybe... hopefully they've done enough room for him and his cap.
They got rid of their other two centre-backs, so they've got room.
No, of course they got room because it's Sydney and they don't have a salary cap. Only, you know, everyone else does. But
I mean, yeah. And Dylan Smith, we don't know what's going to happen with him. I know he doesn't, you know, he hasn't featured, but it's an interesting one to see what will happen there.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I see is if Kamau leaves, I guess we bump someone off from the youth team and off we go.
Marco Cheng next season, if he's not in the team, that's, or you know, not involved more, yeah, with both Moroney out and losing Goodwin, and you know,
yeah,
if he's not more involved, there's something a bit wrong.
But you'd probably have to have a starter, a constant starter with him on the bench, I think, to start with.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I guess,
yeah, LC's played a bit of right back.
I guess Mate's getting
played left back and a bit of everything this year, so
I guess. But at the same time, if we lose McGowan, LC's really our only option at centre back at the moment.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't know if you ask the I'm sure if you ask the MPL if you ask
Mr. Ron Tonyuk,
if you ask the MPL commentary team, I'm sure they'll tell you Ron Tonyuk's the
He's highly rated amongst the players, I can tell you that.
He's going to be good, but I just think he needs a few more years of development in him before he's.
I don't know, a few more years, but a season maybe. But is he highly rated amongst the players? He's also highly rated amongst Ilaria Finnis, I can tell you that. From what he's seen of him. But yeah, I mean,
time will tell. It's going to be an interesting off season, you know. If we can keep the core of our squad, good, you know,
it could be we could be in for a really good season next year as well.
I think people have been a bit harsh on Marte as well.
Yeah. It's one of those ones that, I mean, Kamau beat him out for the spot and that's it. Like, you know, it was...
I agree with that, but
yeah. No. I'm not harsh on him. It was just Kamau beat him out for it. He was younger. You know, when you're a coach, you're looking at bringing in the younger players because, you know, I mean, Mate's about 30, I reckon, or in that department. Give me a second. I'm already on the club site, so I can just check on his profile. He's only 26. Is he that young? Jesus Christ. He's been around for...
I think if he stays next year, I think he's going to be a big player for us.
I don't share that optimism, I'm afraid, but yeah.
I think he can be a handy player. I don't think he's going to be a...
If this season tells us anything, we can be proved wrong at a moment's notice.
Indeed. And we can also... given some of our predictions earlier on, not on this podcast, but like amongst ourselves, I think you and I, Jason, got it a bit wrong.
It was all doom and gloom to start with.
I remember you were away in the UK, so by the time you got back... We were well and truly in the midst of not going so crash hot. So,
but, I know a full season with this squad and this coach,
Now,
who knows what can happen? You know.
Now, I mean, you have to feel that Amor's not going to have too much long left with us before he heads off to greener pastures.
I mean, having said that, a good, if we get through the group stage in the last 16 of ACL, maybe he could be persuaded to stay another year and see that bit through.
Sounds good to me.
It's
all right. So, I mean,
got some unfinished business there, you know.
Yes, we do.
So,
yes, we certainly do. And I'm sure we can do a lot better than the result last time we were there. Especially now that, since the, I guess you call it the Spanish Revolution happened at our club, we've won every domestic trophy we could.
Get in there.
Well then, there you go.
Ironically, for people that dislike that song, that's also about the same time we've had Wonderwall as our theme song, so enjoy that.
I just want to say something. Because we won the FFA Cup,
Yeah.
Last season, does that mean we won the treble?
No, it does not. Just because they behave.
I thought it didn't matter when you won the FFA Cup. Yeah, pretty sure we've won the treble.
Yeah, pretty sure it does, actually. Anyway, I was going to say.
Pulling in some victory logic here.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, I was going to say. I'm sure.
I get salty.
Oh, yeah. I effing hate that term. Anyway, anyway. We'll let them be salty about everything else. I was gonna say, I mean, oh yeah, for anyone that we meant to do an NPL review from last week, that's gonna be like next season, because we are basically gonna have where do you want the break to, the start of the A-League season or the start of the FFA Cup?
I think I've got earmarked on my calendar Sunday the 17th of July, pre-season friendly in Port Pirie against Northern Demons.
Yes, that's all well and good, but when's the podcast like going to restart?
So I reckon Tuesday the
19th. Well, you said that was July?
Yes. July, yeah.
Yeah, that's Roberto's birthday. You'll have to pick another day.
Birthday after. Do the Wednesday. That'll do.
You can't do the day after, and that's for reasons I'll explain off here. That's a bit of a personal day. Yeah.
But
around that time. Yeah, I was just going to say, I'll let you say it. But yeah, and around that time. So basically, quick heads up. Basically, we're going to have a break until, say, July, August. But when the FFA Cup restarts and we play a game, around then. All right, yes, Jason, what were you going to say?
As I say, excluding Sunday, favourite moment of the season, go.
Put it on the spot.
that I was there for, or they just happened in general?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
All right, the victory away, the 1-0 win.
All right.
Celebrations, Jace. That was just mad.
Jace, you?
Yeah, Bruce Kamau's a winner against Melbourne Victory. That was when, you know, one poodoo gone, and that's when I think everyone started to believe, like actually believe.
Yeah. That, yeah, I'd say that. If not, not that.
Or Spiro going over in the FFA.
Oh, that. Nah, I'm changing to that. Spiro going head over the railings, head first. Right in the same aisle that I was, just looking over, seeing it, and like, going to reach my hand out to try and stop him, and then realize I didn't have a prayer, and just put my hand down. I'm like, oh well. I don't know. The tram ride home from the FFA Cup to my house was pretty good.
We may have to push him over the railings next year as well.
good luck.
Have it again.
Someone tell Spirit again. Head over. First one, Amy. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, as I think that says, oh, you know, what a season.
Yeah.
So many memories. You know, on the field and off the pitch. Yeah. It's been a good season. It's been emotional.
Yes, it has been emotional. I wish you hadn't have said that. Anyway, so obviously, sorry if this show was a little bit longer, but you know what? Actually, not sorry. We're the champions. Get over it. We were celebrating.
Exactly. Right. What more can you say but champions?
Not only that, double. Did the double. That's the bit I like the best. I just realized we've ruined 3/4 of the victory chance about us. Oh, well, that's all right. Haven't won F all now, have we? Anyway, we are going to get out of here. So it's been a fantastic season. We'll see you first round of the FFA Cup, I guess. We'll be there. Say thank you, Jason.
Thank you very much, guys.
Go on, Watto. You say thank you as well.
Thanks, lads. What a year.
And say thanks, Aaron.
Been a pleasure.
It has. And for me, Ilaria Finnis, good night, champions. And for everyone that loves it, enjoy this song on the way out.
Gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding, and all the lights that lead us there are blind. Somehow realize what you're not to do. believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.